Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. This week's guest is Usama Siddique. You may have seen him on America's Got Talent or heard him as co-host of the Mango Bay podcast. He's going to talk about growing up and the effects of Islam on sexuality, holding it in until you're 21 and then letting it out.
Let the wind make you come.
Letting it out everywhere. Everything that you didn't let out in your brother's bed. You know what? This is
out of your dick and up your butt and all around.
This sounds questionable, so you're going to have to really press play. And if you want more content from creators like us, Russell Brand, Lena Dunham, Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Michael Rapaport, you're going to head over to luminarypodcast.com/GWF, where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
Oh my God, this is such a weird thing. But like, he told me like how to jack off, and I didn't believe him.
He told you how?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He was like, grab your dick and then move it up and down. And
that's a good friend.
That's a good friend. And then he did it for me, and I was like, this is even a better friend.
Oh, that's a really sweet friend. Well, some guys have circle jerks that have something to do with their sexuality.
Right. So then when he told me, I was like, I didn't believe him. I was like very skeptical. I was like, this is not going to work. What the fuck?
You don't need to believe it in order for it to work,
exactly.
Friend.
So I was like, this is stupid. This is fucking crazy, but I'll do it. So I went home to my parents' house. They're all sleeping. I had the nice computer, and I went to the computer, and I typed in like butt.com or something. And I was like, how do I get to what I want, right?
Butt.
And then I...
1-800 butts.
Butts galore. And then I found a butt, and I was like, just skeptically like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Wow, and you really were on the edge. Just a butt detached from anything else did it for you.
It was literally, it was like a pube.
It's actually close-up pictures of fruit.
Good old
zoom
days.
Out and you realize it wasn't even a body part.
I'm turned on by pears. Yeah. But it was odd. I started jacking off. Skeptical jack off. Just like, okay, fine. Whoa. And then I came for 13 minutes. Just...
But really, like, how long? Like,
it was a long cum. It was a very, very long cum.
I would imagine.
It's not like it was all a cum for 10 years.
Right.
But it was a very large...
Because you were getting it out in your brother... You're in your brother's bed.
Brother's back in sheets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so when that first happened, it was a dangerous thing because I still was very Muslim. So I couldn't jack off because it was against the Islam.
Right.
And
now, Islam doesn't say you can't jack off.
It's more, it's in the hadith, this Quran, which is the main book, and the hadith is more like a game of telephone.
The commandments? Oh, okay.
A telephone with a lot of different leaders. So it's like kind of the one where it's like...
That's always good.
Yeah, the etiquette one, right?
Focus vision.
Deuteronomy shit. Like, don't wear a pink t-shirt on a Tuesday, right?
Right.
That bullshit. So it was that level, and I remember I used to like make deals with God about jacking off. Like, listen, if I get an A in humanities, I won't jack off for 3 weeks.
Oh.
Then that's how
I
do it.
Oh, I would say if you get an A, you could jack off because then it balances out.
The A was what I wanted as a brown kid. The brown kid, I needed the thing I wanted more than anything was an A.
Okay.
Because I was a brown little...
More than coming. Yeah.
More than coming.
Wow.
But then,
I
got the A and I felt so good that I came, you know? So, you know, back then it was very much that kind of give and get.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what got you out of being so Muslim, as you put it?
I started comedy.
Yeah,
comedy was the first thing.
Comedy really did undo everything for you.
My life, Corinne. Because I was very like, I lived very passively. I was very like, my neurons fired well enough that I could ace any class.
Sure.
You know, I was just a high functioning brain kid.
Yeah.
But I didn't really learn anything. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really give a fuck about life.
Right.
I was passively
existing. You did what existing. You had to do.
Right. Knowledge didn't mean anything to me. It was just a way to succeed. When I started comedy, I realized that if you want to do good jokes, you have to learn a lot about different shit.
Yes.
And that's when there was like a prerogative to be like, learn shit.
Yeah.
I've never had that desire to learn. I was just a very...
Because you never saw the fruits of the labor other than the A,
hundo.
But it's so automatic.
An A is nothing. It's really bullshit. It's really not really... You're not really understanding fruits. And then you start like pursuing knowledge for knowledge's sake. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What
and then
the
That's when you retain it.
That's when you're having a good time with life and everything. Every moment means something. I started crying during movies at that time because I could feel empathy all of a sudden. I understood a father's love. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
Everything clicked in. It's comedy saved a lot of who I am. Who I am is all because...
And it shows because you're so fucking funny and you're
so
really always have new bits in it, or, and it's like your writing is really good. So it shows that you give a shit, which is just the best thing to see.
Appreciate
as a fellow
you.
Comic.
Thank you. And part of that give a shit probably comes from like that intense focusness of before.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was just like drilled in and now I just have that as like a residual kind of thing. But yeah, and when I started comedy, that was big. And then when I went to New York and started fucking, and it was just like, yeah, okay, oh, you start fucking.
Did you get into any deviant shit? Like fun sex stuff? Like sexually adventurous, explorative?
In the beginning, missionary was anal. That'll, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, back then, you're like, what the fuck, right? Yeah. Then slowly, in New York, everyone's down. Everyone was just ready to go. So it slowly, it was all girls. Like all the women in my life in New York are the ones who kind of propped me up. Cause I was,
oh, good.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
I was
guys
just
cannot tell when women want to fuck them.
Dude, it was, and add Islam to that. So like,
right.
Add, you know, even white dudes who have like two sisters don't know what the fuck is going on. You didn't watch your sisters
right.
fucking live?
Yeah, that I grew up with a lot of women in my life doesn't really mean that much.
Anything, right? How many sisters do you have?
I have no sisters. I have one older brother.
Okay, this is the white trash thing. We have no siblings, but like you grew up around 19 people.
My mom lived in a car. No, I didn't grew up around not a lot, but my mom lived in a car for a couple months and no one told me where she was. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I had to work at the flea markets from age like 8 to 15. So
love it.
Ooh,
what? Yeah. Where'd you grow up growing?
New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your lives, that's insane.
Very different lives.
Very different.
Yeah. That's I had a very normal upbringing for a comic. Yeah, yeah, these were mistakes I made on my own.
Yes, yes.
Nothing to do with my family. Yeah. Right, right. No, I mean, that is true. I actually like did like actively get myself into trouble because there was just none at home.
I feel you. I feel you. But your parents are loving it. You're like, oh my God, she's so spirited.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my parents love that I'm a comedian.
Right.
You know, like that's like entertainment was very valued in my house growing up. So this was not no problem to get into this business for me.
Yeah. So when I was, you know, learning sex from women in New York, it was
a lot women
of patient,
in New York will teach you
a lot of patience.
Yeah.
Cool women who are like, this is how you put a finger in a butt, okay?
Nice.
You don't just stick it in.
Right.
You fucking do a little swirl and then you figure it out.
Uh-huh.
Right?
A swirl. Yeah.
That's the first thing you wanted to get into was sticking fingers in butts?
This is just an example.
Oh, okay.
Is that chronologically?
Just weird that that's what you, I felt, like, there, out of all the things.
There are a couple of milestones.
Okay.
I mean, I just, you know, we're ripping
here.
This is
how you milk a prostate. It's not as hard as you think.
The first milestone was kind of a sex in New York. Then the milestone was... anal in New York was big.
That sounds like a rom-com.
Anal in New York.
That's Woody Allen's next flick.
There's Sleepless in Seattle and Anal in New York.
Yeah.
There's two Woody. That's a sequel to Sleepless in Seattle. And Awake in Boise. Those are the three, the trilogy. And then the third, one of the biggest ones recently was a girl put on like these random finger condoms.
Okay.
And
then,
and then put her finger up my butt.
Yeah, you got a treasure
like,
trove.
Really
up there.
Went in there, yeah. And then I passed out. I like straight up passed out. She must have like broken some barrier. I just literally just like, I got up and I just passed out. And then
like
I,
you not fell asleep, but you like legit.
No, I literally just like fell down.
Your body was like we're
gonna
lay down.
Did you feel lightheaded?
It was weird, yo. It was like so. This girl randomly on Facebook, she's like, "Listen, come fuck. I want to do things to you." I'm like, "All right."
On Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's one of the last remaining
Facebookers.
That's where all the weirdos are still at. I don't know if you know
that's where
Facebook.
My parents are at, looking at all the conspiracies.
Oh yeah. Adrenochrome is a new one for all these old ladies. But this girl was like, yeah, so she's like, hey, come over, what do you want? And I was like, one of my fantasies is meeting a girl, not saying anything to her, and then just fucking.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
just like no
going.
Talk.
Yeah.
And so she's like, yeah, just come over and we'll do it. So I go over there, right? We start fucking, and then she just like without saying a word, put on this like this condom on her finger. I was like,
now,
first of all, what?
What is that?
It's a finger condom.
So she's not telling you what she's about to-
She's like, she did like a little beckoning and she's like, and I'm like, all right. Let's do it.
You knew what that meant.
Right.
Up the booty.
Up the booty. And so she went in there. It felt super good. I was like, this is really cool. It was like really blown
away. You
can
have a
like,
crazy orgasm
it
that
It was
way.
Crazy. I was like really feeling it. I was like, oh my God. And then after she kind of like, I didn't come up from it, but like she like took it out and I was like, wow, that was cool. I stand, different voice.
That's really great.
This is my new voice now. And I get up from the bed. And then I just like, and I just fall down on the ground. I kind of like lay there.
Did you hit your head?
It hit my head. Just kind of fell on my shoulder or whatever. And then she was like, oh shit. Very, like not her first time ever that happened. She runs to the fridge, gets chilled peaches. Just gets these like little peaches that are chilled. Starts feeding me chilled peaches.
Oh my God.
While I'm kind of like laying
this
there.
This is a service.
Super weird. And then she was
like,
those
peaches don't have like sprinkled something on
them. I don't know. Maybe the roofied peaches, but it was good. And I was like, and then she was like, are you feeling okay? And I was like, I'm a little scared, but you know, this is okay. And she's like, okay, you can get up. I kind of got up fell again. This time, head on the doorknob of the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And I was lying. I'm like, oh my God, what's
Passed
going on?
Out twice. Shame on me. Yeah, I got to figure this
and
out.
And what's going through your head? Did you think it was the anal? Or did you think you were like poisoned or something?
I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, because you didn't know this girl.
I don't know this girl at all. So but, I was a little scared that she might have like did some
put something on that butt condom because your butthole is an orifice.
That's what it is.
You could do drugs.
There was like, I don't know what was in it. Rosemary. I don't know what she put in it. In my butt. But it was not, it was like reacting against it. And then I kind of was like, okay, but she's feeding me peaches. That's cool, you know? Then she, like, she feeds me peaches again. Like, there's a second.
That's weird.
The second peach feeding situation. And and then she's like, listen, I know they're just a thing. And she, like, leaves and plays Captain Beefheart.
Okay, I am very freaked out. I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah, so I'm eating peaches, Beefheart's playing, which is the weirdest, not a great song to hear when your butt is on fire.
Your butt was on fire?
It was kind of like in pain, and I was kind of
she only stuck one finger up there, right?
Yeah, but
and
it was
she was
like,
gentle.
She was gentle, but she was doing a lot of tricks in there.
Why was it on fire?
I don't know.
I don't know if something or if you had an allergic reaction to the latex.
Maybe,
the condom.
Maybe.
But passing out is not.
It rearranged my chakras, and then the Beefheart was playing.
Yeah, maybe it did. Yeah.
And then I was like, "What the fuck is Beefheart doing? This is not a calming song right now. There's no time signature. It's fucking weird." And I was just like, "Okay, eat the peaches. Focus on the peaches." And then 30 minutes later, it was all good. I kind of sat back down in the bed. We talked about, you know, her work. She's like a painter, and it was kind of
okay.
Chill. And I ate some more peaches.
Wow, a lot of peaches.
And then I put my finger up her butt.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you put a finger condom on?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I never even thought of that.
I didn't know that
I
existed.
I had milked a man's prostate and then put a finger condom on, and I should have.
Okay.
It's just better because then you might rub your eye in a moment of weakness and you go fucking there goes that.
Ew.
There goes
that's
that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But then I fingered her and it was a pleasant evening.
That was a real interesting story about what it's like to be a man. Just like you're literally fainting. You could be drugged and you're just like still there. You're not leaving.
You know, Beefheart has some classics.
Beefheart has some classics.
Yeah.
Had she seen your comedy? How did she find you?
She saw my comedy. Yeah. She had a show once and she's like, I saw you at Union Hall. And I'm like, I can't believe Union Hall is where you got hot for me because that's not my main spot. I'm not smashing for Union Hall.
That's
people.
Where you find someone who's going to fuck you silently and feed you peaches.
Yeah.
The finger condom buyers are all Union Hall comedy show goers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't do the early show at New York Comedy Club. That's
I've
not
never
them.
Even met anyone with a finger condom that was used for like other things.
I guess CVS.
My first time I saw one and the last time I saw one.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people use them for like secretary work, you know, and you're gonna touch a lot of papers,
right?
Yeah,
I think there's probably different ones though for butts to things.
Wow, we hope you enjoyed that excerpt from our interview with stand-up comedian Usama Siddique. It is a fucking fantastic interview, and if you want to hear the whole thing and whole things from other creators like Lena Dunham, Roxanne Gay, Trevor Noah, Michael Rapaport, etc., head on over to luminarypodcast.com. A subscription is as little as $2.99 a month.